Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the garden. Welcome to Lynn Seraphim's Garden of the Soul, exploring personal empowerment, life purpose, balance of mind, body, and spirit, and how to tap into the inner hero that lies within every human being. Good evening, good morning, and good afternoon, Blog Talk Radio, and welcome to Lynn Seraphim's Garden of the Soul. My name is Lynn Seraphim, and I am a personal transformation coach and author of the book, The Garden of the Soul, Lessons from Four Flowers That Unearth the Self, and I'll tell you more about that later in the show. Today is, I have the wrong date written down, but I know what date it is. Today is Thursday, May 14th, and we are broadcasting from Bedford, England, where it is currently 6:30 p.m., and I want to tell you what the heck happened to the spring. I'm really disappointed in the weather. We've gotten back to that gray, usual, typical British weather that we call, you know, Britain, but still, it's still lovely, and I did take a long, long walk today, as usual. I saw so many irises in bloom, and they really reminded me of the principle of receiving, which is one of the principles in the book that is represented by the iris. Well, I'm actually having a really interesting week. I told you last week I had an interesting week. I didn't have any root canals this week, but this week I started my three-month experiment at BBC Three Counties Radio. I'm one of three life coaches who are working with three women who want to lose weight on the afternoon program called Losing It with Lorna. I met my new client. Her name is Anna, and she's absolutely lovely. And I have to tell you that I get the feeling that my approach, being a personal transformation coach, is going to be a little bit radical compared to what they might be thinking they're going to get, because I told them that I work from the inside out, and my ultimate aim is happiness. And hey, if that amounts to weight loss or not, that's not on my agenda. That's really up to the client. So it's going to be an interesting show. And if you missed that one, I'm going to be back on there again in about 2 weeks on Wednesday, the 27th of May. And if you live in Britain, that's on bbc.co.uk/three counties. And that's the word three, spelled out, three counties. Okay, so let's get back to the garden for today. Today is episode 17 of Lynn Seraphim's Garden of the Soul. And for those of you who tuned in last week, the show is entitled Voice as a Key to Wholeness. And my special guest on that show was coach and spiritual teacher Gemini Adams, who's actually from Britain, but she lives out in L.A. right now, and it's probably a lot warmer out there than it is here. And Gemini is also the author of the book called Your Legacy of Love, Realize the Gift in Goodbye. And she told us all about how she lost her mother when she was about 21 years old and how that really impacted her, about what is left behind, the emotional gap that's left behind when somebody leaves, and what bereavement does to us. That gave her the inspiration to write this book, which I have to tell you, it's not all a book about death and doom and gloom. It's a book about the impact that is left after you go and what you can do to soften that impact. Soften, but to make that transition more meaningful and to give a gift to your loved ones by leaving a legacy of love. And it's actually a real practical guide. So check that book out. It's called Your Legacy of Love, Realize the Gift and Goodbye. The name of the author is Gemini Adams. And if you missed that show, check it out here on Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/Lynn-Seraphim, LYNN-Seraphim. And if you're listening on podcast, you can find all of the previous shows at that same address. So tonight, as I said, it's episode 17, and it is entitled Forgiveness as a Pathway to Freedom. And my special guest, all the way from L.A., I think, is award-winning actress and forgiveness coach Brenda Adelman. Hi there, Brenda. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Hi.
I am in L.A.
You are in L.A. I hope it's warmer there than it is here.
It's warm, beautiful, sunny, right. And it's morning.
Okay, so I'm just going to tell people a little bit about what you're going to be talking about with this. Brenda's going to tell us an amazing story. I'm not going to tell you the story of how she really had to face the ultimate challenge of forgiving the unforgivable. So you're going to want to hear what that is. And she's actually so such an expert at this, and when you hear it, you'll understand why, that she was given an award by, I'm trying to see who was it, who gave you the award again? The hero?
It was from the Hawaii International Forgiveness.
Hawaii International Forgiveness. Okay, and it was the Hero of Forgiveness Award, and also Brenda does a one-woman show called My Brooklyn Hamlet, and she has a book coming up called Forgive and Be Free, A Pathway to Personal Happiness, and before the show started, Brenda told me she's actually going to read an excerpt from it, so you get to hear a book that isn't even out yet. Great. So, listeners, if you have any questions for Brenda tonight, the number to call is U.S. number area code 646-727-3449. And if you're calling to ask a question, be sure you put your hand up so I know you're calling to ask a question and not just listening to the show. I also have a chat room set up. If any of you have any questions, please come into the chat room and ask them there. So, Brenda, let's get into your story.
Okay.
Let's hear a little bit about your background with relation to the topic tonight, forgiveness as a pathway to freedom. Tell us about what led you to your ultimate challenge of forgiveness.
Well, I'm wondering if I should start off with this little introduction from my book.
Is that where we'd like to start right now?
I think so, because then there'll be a lot of questions that come from that. And I'm pretty excited. I haven't shared this with anybody yet.
Okay. So set it up for us so we know what it is.
Okay. It's a memoir style book filled with juicy stories from my life, but it's actually mixed in with a workbook so that mm-hmm. I've included the processes I've used as I faced the shocking loss of my mother mm-hmm. and how I forgave the person who was responsible for her death and mm-hmm. What happened afterwards. I've set it up so that the process I went through, I take the audience through so that they can, the readers through, so that they can apply the lessons I've learned to their lives in the right
mm-hmm.
order
mm-hmm.
directly
wow.
so that they don't have to, let's say, you know, lose as many years as sometimes people do when they've been through something traumatic,
mm-hmm.
you know, the loss of a relationship, you know, the loss of a child. It could be anything, you know.
So I was going to say, so that the audience knows, your mother was murdered, yes?
Yes, I don't
yes.
want to give too much away because I'm going to mention it in this introduction. Yes,
okay,
my mother was murdered.
Okay, so I'm trying not to give too much away because I know some of the story. So did you want to go ahead and read it or do we need more than that?
Let me go ahead and read it. I think it's it sets up itself.
And the title of the book again?
The title of the book is Forgive and Be Free, A Pathway to Personal Happiness.
Pathway to Personal Happiness, great.
Okay.
Brenda Edelman.
I grew up in Brooklyn among wise guys, my father one of them, and big-haired women with diamonds dripping from their ring fingers. Cash was God, toughness was rewarded by neighborhood popularity, and Cadillac Eldorados were the norm. Dad taught me how to shoot a .35 caliber gun when I was 10. His nickname for me was Brenda Badenda, his great defender. I was definitely Daddy's little girl. Now, Mom was an eclectic bohemian artist who never quite fit into Brooklyn with her short, unpolished fingernails and uncoiffed hair. A naturally beautiful, green-eyed bombshell with the sexiness of Anne Margaret, she wore long, slinky gowns that covered her figure like a glove with cutouts exposing the sides of her body down to her hips. She was one of the few women in our neighborhood who went to college and got a degree. Later in life, she returned for a master's degree in fine art photography from a school in the city. She practically strapped me to her back each summer from the time I was 3 as we globetrotted the world together, and she read me Shakespeare to help me fall asleep at night. She took photos.
I think that put a lot of people asleep, actually.
She took photos. She made friends with Aborigines. Mom mm-hmm. was my daring best friend.
Mm-hmm.
My parents' love for each other was intense and tumultuous. So was their
mm-hmm.
hate. I tried to be everything good to them that they wouldn't be for each other. I was so wrapped up in their happiness, trying to help them and make them feel better, that I hadn't realized that I had put my life, my dreams, and my goals on hold.
Mm-hmm.
On October 1st, 1995, my father shot and killed my mother. He married her older sister a few months later. That one shot shattered my world. His subsequent marriage to my aunt altered the course of my life forever. Who was I if I wasn't my parents' daughter? What is the right amount of time to grieve? I believe it's personal and unique to each individual. If you're ready to move forward in your life and claim your joy back, I can help you by sharing the exact journey I took to turn my shocking loss, bout of severe depression, feelings of betrayal, and inner rage into my biggest gift by learning and practicing the art of forgiveness. Remember, forgiveness is for you, not anyone else. Let's get started.
Wow. It is really engaging. It is really engaging, Brenda. It is. As you read
it. It's the first time I read it.
Well, wonderful. And you know, and the story comes like it almost reads like watching an episode of The Sopranos kind of thing. Born in Brooklyn. I was born in Brooklyn too. I wasn't raised there, but I was born there.
And
it just has that color, and it is very engaging from that dramatic level, and then it's just, okay, this is not drama, this is reality.
And it really hits in that
you.
Way.
It is very heartbreaking, and you can feel it at that moment. I could feel it in my stomach as you're saying that.
Wow.
When your mother was shot.
I will mention here, that I have been doing a one-woman show for almost about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
I am an actress, and
yes.
and I've been performing the show and leading workshops on the power of forgiveness. I have a master's degree in spiritual psychology, and it took me this many years though to sit down and write a book, because even though I'm very real on stage and raw. I also can put humor in there when I want, and I can jump around. Whereas with this, it was about getting really into it, the nitty-gritty, and really facing the feelings, the depth of the feelings that I had.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to share that on the page so that I could also take the readers on a ride to the other side.
You're not acting in a book.
I'm not acting. I'm really just engaging, hopefully, directly with the reader's hearts so that they can tap into their own courage and their own fears and move through them.
So what I'd love to ask you is, I'm really glad that you kind of turned it around and read that first, so that we can really have a springboard now, because it takes us right into the action. How in the world did you come from that reality and come to the place that you're not only reconciled with it, but you're also so aware of it now that you can actually help other people? How did you go through all that?
It was a process. The first 3 years, this happened in 1995, and the first 3 years, 1995 to 1998, I was filled with so much shame. I took on the shame of my family like it was my own, like I was somehow damaged because of what had happened. And when I was in that place, like very fearful, and I remember a lot of the time being holed up in my apartment, not even wanting to go, kind of just functioning. You know, I put on a good face like so many people do, functioning through life. You can even, maybe pretend to smile. I don't remember many smiles during that time, But what happened was, while I was filled with that shame, I was really stuck. I couldn't move forward. I couldn't let anybody close to me, because I was also filled with so much self-loathing. I really took on my family's, the event. You know, I call it the event when my mom was killed. And there are more specifics in the book, and we can talk a little bit after about that.
And I think it's so important what you're bringing up about shame, because I think it's an emotion that people don't want to talk about, because, well, first of all, shame is by nature something that you hide, whereas anger may not be,
Right. Although with anger, the interesting thing is, some people lash out, but I was someone who so many people are that just, it went within. For me, I was overeating. I was going out with people who were not very nice to me, because I felt so bad about myself. The thing is with the shame, it's almost like that a chicken and the egg thing. It's like which comes first, the shame or the self-loathing? They kind of go together, and it's really important to tap into your courage so that you can make the, it's really like, it seems like a quantum leap when you're in that place to get out of that place of being ashamed.
So where did you find that courage? Where did Wellspring start for you?
Well, for me, it started from writing and started from getting these very toxic feelings about myself, about my father, about my aunt onto the page and journaling. And I started writing poems very late at night, 3 years after my mom's death. I could hardly sleep at night. And in that like quasi-awake state, I would write these poems. And then I'd fall asleep. I'd wake up in the morning, and they were so dark and so filled with rage and so sexual. And I'd almost be like, who wrote that? That's not me. I'm a nice person. But those poems, what happened was all that anger inside me and shame was released and, you know, put on the page. So that was the first step in healing, getting it out and like really ignite. And it's part of, I have a 3-step process that I use and I talk about in the book. Is that first step is acknowledging that you feel angry, betrayed, whether it's self-betrayal or betrayed by someone else. You have to acknowledge it, because part of being in shame was mixed in with denial. Like even though I knew my father killed my mother, half of me was like, no, this couldn't be, because I can't accept that. No. Mm-hmm. And while I was in denial, I couldn't heal. So it's so important to move out of denial. That was the first step. And then shortly after that, I was fortunate enough. I was an actress at the time in Los Angeles, and they had a personal storytelling exercise in the class. And I just knew that I had to put up my story. It was about a half an hour version of what is now my 1-hour, 15-minute one-woman show. I had to be honest. It was about being honest and real, because I was hiding behind my characters, always hiding. And I thought, I just have to get up on stage and be real. And I was. And what happened was, that because there were 100 people in the class, not only did I get a standing ovation, but people started coming over to me afterwards, sharing with me their private shames, things
isn't
that had happened
amazing?
In their lives.
It's amazing,
and,
isn't it?
Yes, and that's what pulled me forward to keep going. It's like, wow, okay, first of all, I'm not alone, because even though the situation might be unique to me, I didn't meet anyone who had the same exact thing happen at that time, the humanity that goes through everything, those feelings of betrayal, fear, self-loathing, those are universal. And so what I saw is people were healing by listening to me, and that's kind of where the start was.
Brenda, this is where I resonate so much with you, because I've spoken to you about this before. A lot of my book is about that same process of letting go of shame. In my case, it was living in an abusive marriage, living in, you know, abusive childhood, you know, all of those kinds of things that you take on. Right. And it is about the acknowledging the rage and this and this and this. But it's the shame that keeps you locked in isolation. And I know nowadays, when I talk to people about the process of letting go, when I had a similar experience to you, I went and spoke to people about letting go, and again, they burst into applause, and you realize the world is out there waiting to be let out of their prison of shame.
It's so true. I mean, I'm almost like ready to tear up right now with you saying that, because it's so true. People just hide. And what I realize, what you realize when you finally connect with other people, is that you're not alone. And that's a really big step in healing. You know, going, you know, hearing someone else's story, when you realize you're not alone, that's why they clap, because it's like, oh my God, finally.
They recognize
I'm not alone in this.
Yeah, clapping's almost like a, you realize it's where the people, they find the resonant point, the harmonic, you know, the harmonic that rings in them. They say, yes, that's me. I get it. That's me.
Right.
And I think that's when people applaud. Yeah.
Right. And what I wanted to say is, it's such a gift, you know, when like you were able to get out of your situation and then be able to share with others, because everybody has different roles in society. Some people like you or I can be very vocal and, you know, kind of put out there what we've been through so that other people don't even have to. They can just,
That's
you know,
right.
talk in their small circles, you know,
That's
have their
right.
support system, but they don't have to do it in the same way, because that can be terrifying too for people. Mm-hmm. Although I do remember, I'll share this. There was a woman who came to see my one-woman show I think it was in 2006. I did it for high school, and this woman was one of the teachers, and she had said that her father actually killed her mother when she was a kid. She had never told anybody. She came up to me afterwards and said that what it did was, you know, by seeing my work and seeing that I could talk about it, it gave her hope that she could get to that place.
Yes.
You know, and for me, it was a gift to know someone else even lived through something I did.
Absolutely. And the whole idea of saying being able to forgive the unforgivable. I mean, we make these words up in our language to express the anguish. And to be able to say, no, there's forgiveness in the unforgivable, and not just forgiveness, but happiness and joy.
Right.
What a promise that is for
right.
people. Wow.
Right. And I'll go through the different stages afterwards to.
Yeah, we're actually kind of. I'm looking at the time, and we only have a little bit of time. So, how about giving us the stages now, so we get them in, and then I want to make sure we get a good clear. You know, your websites and where people can get your book and stuff like that. We only have about 4 minutes.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Where'd the time go? I wanted to introduce the five top reasons to never forgive, but people can't.
Well, then let's go for that. The five top reasons to forgive and
okay.
to what?
The five
to never forgive and why you must.
Right. And I've gotten this from people at my workshops over the years. You know, they come in and they're like, well, I just can't forgive. So this is not in an order, but the first one is, if I forgive this person, I'm condoning what he or she did. Of course, my answer to that is, and I know this to be true, that forgiveness is actually for you. It's not for them. If they get benefit, that's great, or not, wherever you are in your healing. But it's for you. It sets you free. So that's number one.
Yes.
Number two, my anger assures me that this person will never be in my life again. And this, again, is a misunderstanding. I was like that with my father. I kept him out of my life. I cut him out. And a lot of my work, and I deal with it in the book, is about setting healthy boundaries so that you can free yourself of that anger and set a healthy boundary at the same time. And anyway, my answer to that is that your anger, even though you don't know it, actually keeps them in your thoughts closely.
Absolutely.
Your obsessive
you give all your energy.
Right,
yeah.
And you're taking all your energy to suppress your thoughts about them so you don't think about them. The third one is they will hurt you again if you forgive them. And again, what I say is the odds are that emotionally they will be able to hurt you over and over and over again if you have this anger and unforgiveness towards them because you're holding that anger. It's like you're rewounding yourself and giving your power over to them by believing that. The fourth one is who, and of course I go into this more extensively. I have a free e-course on my website for that.
Yeah, and I really want to make sure people know how to find that because it's going to be such a healing, wonderful course for lots of people.
Oh, you know what? Because I don't know how much time we have. Maybe I should give the link to the book and the link to the website. I don't know.
Okay.
Or should I go through the rest?
So I'll tell you what. We've got three here. If you want to send me the other two, I'll put them in my blog, and everybody can read them in my blog, and they can also read them on, we can get them to your website. So let's make sure people have the links.
Okay.
Because I can follow all of this up, okay?
Okay, I'll send you that, and that's on my, and I have an e-course that goes into each one of these extensively, a free e-course on my website, so I'll send you
a
that.
A free e-course?
Yeah, free e-course. Yeah.
Great.
On that, and then, and then should I then tell you the rest of the steps in case you have any questions?
Looking at the time. Let's get the websites in, and then I'll put it in the blog. Okay?
Okay. The website for the book, so that you're the first ones to be able to get it, is forgiveandbefreebook.com. And I'm also going to send out a free survey, like an assessment of where you are in your forgiveness process if you sign up for that. And I think the book will be ready by the end of this month or about a month and a half at the latest.
Well, can I be involved in your launch?
Oh, I would love that, yeah.
I would love to be, because you were involved in my launch, and I would just love to be in your
I really
launch.
Believe in your work.
And I believe in yours, too. I really want to be in your launch. Let me help
Thank you. Thank you so much. I just got that page up today, this morning, so someplace to collect people's names so that they're first on that list. And and then my main website is forgivenessandfreedom.com.
Okay, so for the book, it's forgiveandbefreebook.com. forgivenessandfreedom.com.
Right.
And Brenda's main website is forgivenessandfreedom.com.
Right. And you can you can access the main website from the book website.
The book website. And when is your next teleclass or something coming up?
Yes, and my next teleclass.
Hello?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
It says I'm off the host queue, whatever that means.
No,
I
can still hear you.
My next free teleclass is actually at the end of this month, Wednesday, May 27th.
Mm-hmm.
At 5 p.m. Pacific time, and it's on setting healthy boundaries. How to set a healthy boundary, what's a healthy boundary, and you can sign up for that directly on that main page of my website. On the right-hand side, it says, you know, sign up for the next free teleclass.
Right. So that's Wednesday the 27th, 5 p.m. Pacific, and for those of you who live in the U.K., that's actually 1 a.m. here, and I imagine you would have an audio download for that.
Yes, I'll have an audio download as long as you sign up for that, and you can also submit a question, and I can answer it on the call, and then when you get the replay, you'll get that.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And Brenda, I'm just going to make some last announcements. I do want to be involved in your book launch. I really, really do. And your book's coming out maybe in about a month, you say?
It might be less than. I may have an e-book version coming out before then. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anything to do with Brenda's thing, and also the last two reasons why you won't forgive and why you must are going to be, Brenda, if you can send that to me, I'm going to put it in a blog post, and if anybody wants to check that out, come to my blog at givereceivebecomebe.com, and that's give-receive-become-be.com. And Brenda, I wanted to say, yes, I really do relate to what you're talking about, because in the part in my book around becoming, and the name of my book, again, for those of you who don't know, is Garden of the Soul, Lessons from Four Flowers That Unearthed the Self. The part about becoming is about letting go. It's about rebirth and just letting go of what? Shame, blame, anger, all of those kinds
of things.
Yeah,
it's so important, and then to just be in the present. Yeah.
Yes. So, absolutely. In order to be, you have to become. You have to let go of all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I do relate to that. So those of you who haven't picked up my book yet, you can find that, find out more about that at givereceivebecomebe.com. And that's with all hyphens in between each word. And Give, Receive, Become, Be are the four principles of the book. Those are the lessons that the four flowers teach. And you can find out more about that there. Just want to let some of you know where I'm going to be, UK listeners. You can hear me talk about the book actually at the Edenbridge Independent Authors Book Fair on Saturday the 23rd of May. That's between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. in Edenbridge, Kent. That's at Rickard's Hall on the High Street in Edenbridge, Kent. For more information on that, go to ukindependentauthors.co.uk. ukindependentauthors.co.uk. You can find out all about that. That's on the 23rd of May. That's Saturday. And also, if you live anywhere in the central England area, this Monday we are having the big Bedford birthday bash. It's the first anniversary of the Global Wellness Circle. If you go to globalwellnesscircle.com, that's global-wellness-circle.com, you can find out all about that. That's Monday 18th at the Ench Shed right in central Bedford at 7 o'clock. It's £4 at the door, and it's going to be a really, really good night. I have not much more time to wrap up the show tonight, but I will be on Losing It with Lorna in 2 weeks. Also, I'll tell you more about that next time. That's on BBC Three Counties. Check that out at bbc.co.uk /three counties. And let's talk about next week. Next week, our show is going to be back on Wednesday, 20th of May. And the show is called... what's the name of the show? I can't remember. It's Photography and Transformation, I think is what it's called. I can't remember the title. But my guest is the most amazing photographer and transformation teacher, Sheila Finkelstein. She's a personal friend. I love her work. She's going to be sharing her tips for using the camera as a tool for personal transformation through which you can learn to see the world with different eyes. And I have to tell you, Sheila has amazing inner vision. And again, that's next Wednesday at this same time at 6:30 p.m. UK time. That's 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific, Wednesday, 20th May, 2009, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Brenda Adelman, award-winning actress and forgiveness coach, thank you so much for coming tonight. And listeners, thank you. I'm Lynn Serafin, turning up the volume of the music in your heart, and you've been listening to Lynn Serafin's Garden of the Soul on Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you next time. Good night.